My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Central America, troubled states in Central America. In the beginning of the Biden administration, identified the Northern Triangle, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, as the source of disorder in Central America and at the southern border. Caravans said to be originating in Honduras, Guatemala, and Salvador. Since then, we've learned that Venezuela is now the major migrant population traveling the Pan-American highway to the southern border. Ecuador is number two. However, we still have to pay attention a great deal to the Northern Triangle. Three troubled states, Guatemala, Salvador, and we're going to add Nicaragua and leave Honduras on the side for a moment because Nicaragua is darkness visible, persecuting Catholic bishops and priests routinely, and inviting Russia and China and other bad actors into the security blanket of Nicaragua. We start with Guatemala, however, having gone through an election in 2023 and finally inaugurating Arevalo, the new president of Guatemala. However, Professor, I mentioned that Reuters is reporting that he faces a very powerful opposition that used lawfare against him all during this long transition. What are his prospects to preside in a country so arranged against his success?
Well, John, as you pointed out, with the long dominant Guatemalan elite who controls, for example, the Attorney General's office and influence in a number of other institutions during the whole electoral period this past year, they made it very difficult for him and his Semilla party to be elected and take office. But the voters relatively pushed back against that, and so in the end, in the second round of Guatemala's elections last year in August, he was elected by 61% of the voters. Even in the taking of a power ceremony, his inauguration, there was a 9-hour delay. It was so long that several of the presidential visitors, Gabriel Boric of Chile and the King of Spain and his delegation actually left, thinking that this wasn't going to happen. But about midnight after this delay, he was indeed inaugurated after the international pressure convinced those in Congress who were delaying procedurally some of these certifications to essentially drop that. But in the Congress, although in addition to his inauguration, one of the other victories was that his Semilla party was certified, and indeed probably with the congressional personnel thinking about the 100 Guatemalan Congress people who have already been sanctioned by the U.S. and maybe more sanctions to come from the Europeans. They actually not only certified the Semilla party to operate in the Guatemalan Congress, but elected a member of the Semilla party, Samuel Perez, to head that Congress. Now, having said that, Semilla itself only has about 30 of the 160 seats in the Congress. So they're going to have to work with some of these very parties which want to see them not succeed. So legislatively, there's going to be a problem going forward. Institutionally, again, as we've seen, people like Consuelo Porras, who Arevalo would like to see, basically out because she did everything possible to block him as attorney general. But also, there's a question that's just now beginning to emerge of what actually is his legislative agenda. He's been very vocal about a anti-corruption legislative agenda, all good. Also working towards social justice, especially the issue of child malnutrition, which especially among indigenous is something very grave. A desire to move away from human rights violation, talking about basically things imputed to Guatemalan military in the past. But it's interesting that thus far we have heard a lot of generalities, but the hard part now comes, which is with this legislative minority, with these institutional opponents, with really a lack of experience in government, although a very erudite man with a diplomatic past, what will be his concrete legislative agenda to bring prosperity to Guatemalans, to bring security to Guatemalans, to actually address some of these issues with respect to corruption, when he's going to have the institutions of the country fighting to hold on to their privileges?
And what we have then in Guatemala is possibility of improvement, or it sounds like Arevalo is going to spend all of his time dealing with the pressure from the establishment. Although he is not a child of the establishment, I don't understand how the forces work in Guatemala. They're the well-to-do, and then what is it that they want that Arevalo will not deliver?
Well, largely the well-to-do have been the privileged classes. Historically, Central America has long been dominated by a limited number of wealthy families. Now, with the 20th, 21st century modernization, the basis of that wealth is changed. And as you've had drug flows coming into the country, the impact of drug flows and going to some of those families with privilege indirectly has been a factor. But basically, they're looking to continue to hold on to the rigged system in ways that money, contracts, benefits go to them, both in government and in interpersonal affairs, rather than what I think Arevalo stands for is a more equitable distribution of political rights, a more equitable distribution of monies. It's the classic leftist populist agenda, although Arevalo is really a Democrat in that space. But really, it's fighting for or against some of the longstanding inequalities. But the real issue is, it's one thing to say I'm against inequality, and Guatemala is certainly one of the most unequal countries in Central America. But then there's the question of, when you have institutions rigged against you, when you have a minority in Congress, when you're relatively inexperienced, how do you translate those good intentions and valid needs into actual programs that actually change real things and give real opportunity economically and politically to the people in the country? So that's his struggle right now, is to turn this into real things against an entrenched elite with a minority government.
San Salvador, the capital of El Salvador, and the current leader in the presidential polling coming up very quickly is Nayib Bukele, who you will remember was the president before he left office in order to run for a second office, and a decision by the Supreme Court saying that he had the right to run again, even though the Constitution says you can't serve consecutive terms in office. Nayib Bukele is very young, very popular. He's arrested, the numbers at Reuters are astonishing, 75,000 young people as drug gangs. And that has made him popular for some of the population, not the families of the young people who are in jail. At the same time, he has this spectacular idea of Bitcoin, turning a volcano into a permanent energy source to mine Bitcoins. I don't know, it's all fantastic. Professor Bukele can be entertaining. At the same time, his strong hand is establishing a new paradigm in Latin America. The way to deal with gangs is to arrest everybody. Is anyone else following that model in the Americas?
Well, certainly his successes in places like Ecuador and places like Honduras have gotten a lot of attention, and people have been trying to see if they could capture that, for better or for worse. But indeed, there is a combination of two things. Number one, El Salvador has a very young population. Bukele has connected very effectively with that through things like social media, through Bitcoin, although not all of his stunts have worked out well. But on the other hand, his probably big success is the fact that, again, he has brought the murder rate down from what just a couple of years ago was 104 murders per 100,000, far more than just about any place else in the region, now down to 4 per 100,000. Basically, El Salvador is now safer than every part of the Western Hemisphere other than Canada. Your grandmother can go out to the market and you don't have to worry anymore. And so Bukele has been hugely popular. It's difficult to understate just how this has impacted him. Now, the fact that about 10% of the 77,000 people rounded up and put in these jails, including these new mega jails, may be innocent. That seems to be a detail, as you pointed out. There's been some grave concerns about civil liberties. But by about, Bukele has something like a 90%+ approval rating. In the elections upcoming for February 4th, he and so popular that the other alternatives, the Arena Party, the FMLN, aren't even bothering really to campaign. Again, I think his two biggest rivals have like 3% support and 2% support, whereas he, again, has over 70% support. And so at the end of the day, it's almost, you know, it's almost like a election in the former Soviet Union. Bukele is going to take it. He's just that popular. However, there is an election a little bit more interesting that will be just a couple of days later on the 3rd of March. And that will be for the election of 44 mayors around El Salvador and town councils. And it's in those elections where there's some hope by the FMLN and Arena, to maybe at least, defend some of that space or gain some territory against, again, some of the lesser known people that are kind of on the coattails with Bukele in his New Ideas Party. And so that's probably where the biggest electoral game is right now. But Bukele, again, there is nobody as popular politically, as entrenched and as likely to be elected in, you know, this second of the region's seven elections in 2024 as is Nayib Bukele.
Nicaragua, quickly, Professor, because it's the same brutality and non-transparency. Nicaragua says it expelled 19 clergymen to the Vatican, including Catholic Bishop Rolando Alvarez, a prominent critic of President Ortega. What is the Washington approach to Nicaragua? Is there any conversation whatsoever? Because this is brutality.
Nicaragua, the U.S. continues to put on pressure. The Assistant Secretary for Western Hemisphere, Brian Nichols, had some statements of concern over the continuing internment of the 18 members of the clergy, including Archbishop Alvarez, who was in prison. It appears that Ortega kind of ceded to pressure, because recently released a total of 19 of those clergy and then expelled them from the country. But essentially what you have with the Ortegas is outlawing and using their control of the police to move against any form of opposition. So they have basically outlawed and eliminated the famous Jesuit University of Central America, UCA. They have eliminated Catholic radio stations. There was a Nicaraguan Miss Universe, Shanice Palacios, who had apparently played some role in protesting in 2018. The fact that she had those ties to the 2018 protest offended the Ortegas, and so they basically rounded up and deported the promoters of Miss Palacios. So right now, Nicaragua is kind of like the North Korea of Central America, and the Ortegas are basically going after especially the church, but any organization and an NGO that are seen as posing any type of threat, as they have an ever more totalitarian rule in that country.
Professor Avanelis, U.S. Army War College. The troubles in Central America. We're heading to Brazil. Lula da Silva, very popular, very powerful, is committing his country to something called state capitalism. The New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.